Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome once again to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. I'm Skip Lacombe, and it's Friday, so that means senior editor of FootballDiehards.com, Bob Harris, is with me. Bob, what's going on?
Same old, Skip. Lots of news, lots of info, lots of stuff rolling around in here, and I think we better get with it.
Lots of injuries. It seems like this may be the first week that the list of teams that are not healthy is longer than the list of teams that are healthy.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the norm as the season wears on. Guys get more and more beat up, but the bigger names are the guys that seem to be getting beat up this week, some of the biggest of them all.
Yeah, and actually, surprisingly, in the game last night, it looks like Cleveland came to play and Pittsburgh didn't even show up. You want to talk about that one real quickly?
Yeah, let's just, you know, look at what's going on here. You know, I keep talking about, we talked about on your radio show earlier this week, you know, there's the exception, and there's a reason there's something in the exception. And what we've seen recently, though, is a trend and not the exception. The Steelers are playing horrible football. They can't protect Ben Roethlisberger. They're not blocking good up front. Ben's holding on to the ball too long. The defense is not playing great, and they got beat by the Cleveland Browns, which is exceptional. And also exceptional would be Josh Cribbs, who proved that it's probably time to break out the checkbook and pay him no matter what happens with the front office and the coaching staff. You got to have that guy on the field. And, you know, you have to wonder at some point if they don't start looking at him as a viable candidate as a running back, too. I've heard talk of that earlier in the year, and it would make sense. I mean, the guy, they need to get the ball in his hands, and as a receiver, he's just not the receiving weapon that he needs to be, and if they could hand him off the ball or use more of the wildcat. But it seems to me like a little bit of running back work wouldn't do him any harm at all.
Well, that was certainly a surprise to a lot of people. I know in the little football pool we do here at work, there was not a single person to have picked that game correctly.
No one more surprised than the Steelers, I can assure you.
Well, that's history at this point. Let's look ahead to the future because we have a lot to talk about. First game on the agenda, we're talking Packers at Bears. Injury notes for this one, Bob?
Yeah, we've got Devin Hester on the Bears. There was reports earlier that he was doubtful, but he's officially listed as questionable. Still didn't practice all week. I would expect John Knox to see more playing time. Devin Arashman do so also could see more time. Earl Bennett should probably be the primary weapon there. You know, going against the Packers, it's going to be a tough one. Packers are pretty healthy. JerMichael Finley, obviously a guy of great interest to fantasy owners, has a little ding knee, listed as probable, good to go. They really need him. He really helps to open up that offense. And he's also very productive. I mean, he's a terror. He's 6'5", big guy, moves well. I mean, he's hard to defend, and the Bears haven't been playing great defense. The Packers have. Could be a tough game. I'd be laying off my Bears as much as possible. You know, we all seen what kind of struggles Jay Cutler's had. Anyone who drafted Matt Forte will curse at the mere mention of his name. And we did want to get more profanity in the show, but we'll leave it out for this part. But, you know, that has been the issue. The Bears can't run the ball. Their offensive line isn't doing a good job. Matt Forte isn't doing a good job. And they need to throw, and that's putting a lot of pressure on Cutler, and it's not working out well for him. So I would expect more of the same this week going against that 3-4 the Packers run. It's not going to be pretty.
Who from the Bears may be able to break out and surprise some people? I mean, they've certainly not been playing great ball this year, but what do you see?
You would think that maybe Greg Olsen is the guy you'd look at, but there's some talk that maybe the Packers will stick Charles Woodson on him a fair amount, and we all know how that's going to work out, not real well. Woodson's been a terror, so, you know, and Olsen is the most dangerous threat. Earl Bennett's maybe a guy I'll play. Hey, if I had Johnny Knox and he's not my receiver one or receiver two, he's a great receiver three type guy. I mean, can come up with big plays at any given time, very fast. Those are the kind of guys, you know, I'm looking at fringe guys at this point. I could play Olsen, but probably wouldn't want to. Could play Cutler, but would hope I had other choices.
All right, taking a look at our next matchup. We got the Bengals at the Vikings. Injury notes from this one we need to know about.
Yeah, the big issue right now is Percy Harvin hasn't practiced all week for the Vikings. He's having migraine headaches. He's listed as questionable. The real issue is, you know, does he wake up and feel good on Sunday morning? If he does, you know, they kind of kept him out of meetings and work because, you know, obviously with a migraine headache, he's not much good in focusing on classroom work, so that was a worry. So I guess that's the issue. Can he handle the reads on the defense and things like that going against Cincinnati, who can play some pretty tough defense? On the Bengals side, Adrian Peterson, by the way, missed some practice time, but he's fine. I would expect him to pick up the pace. Brett Favre's a little dinged up too, but he'll be fine. For the Bengals, they're all relatively healthy. Cedric Benson playing. Bernard Scott is the only guy who will be out. Larry Johnson and Brian Leonard will back up Benson. I think we'll see a heavy dose of Benson, as heavy as they can. I thought the interesting thing last week watching the Vikings was how they got manhandled, and I'm sure the Bengals were watching for the passing attack, how the Cardinals handled Jared Allen in the pass rush. You know, they kept an extra tight end, did a lot of chipping, helped the tackle out a fair amount. I would expect more of the same. They need to keep Carson Palmer clean. If they can, I think the Bengals can make some big plays and play games similar to what Arizona did and fare pretty well. The Vikings, you need, Brett Favre needs to rebound. Can't try to do too much. I mean, you saw he got some hits on him. They obviously slowed down Adrian Peterson, put the onus on Favre, and he struggled a little bit. And you saw the interceptions that were uncharacteristic in previous games. We could see more of that. But as far as who I'm playing as fantasy guy, if I have Brett Favre, it's hard to sit him down. If I have Carson Palmer, don't really want to sit him down. He's a good frontline guy. All the receivers in Minnesota, if Harvin's playing, you'll want to check your injury report, check back with the flash update in the hour before kickoff for the inactives. You want to play him if you got him. And if Harvin's playing, he's a great threat. Sidney Rice, obviously great threat. Adrian Peterson, you know, again, last week the exception, not the norm, not a trend. I would look for Adrian Peterson to have a solid game again.
Now, both of these teams have been playing some pretty good ball throughout the year. They've only lost a combined 5 games between the two of them. How do you see this matchup going?
You know, I think the Vikings are going to rebound. I think the Vikings are going to come back hard, but I still think the Bengals can give them a good game, and I do expect a solid game. I mean, the Bengals' recent approach, where that run-first approach and playing physical ball, it's going to be hard against the Williams Wall in Minnesota, but it's doable. We saw it last week. The Cardinals moved the ball effectively, and I think the Bengals can too. So I expect a little bit of back and forth in this one. So some good scoring, let's hope for all the fantasy prospects there. And, hey, if you got a Viking, play him. If you got him, you're going to want to play Vincente Shienko. If you got him, he's probable this week. You know, obviously show what he could do last week. Sidney Rice, great play every week. Percy Harvin, if he's on the field, great play every week. Adrian Peterson, you can't sit him. And the same goes with the Bengals frontline guys. I don't think the matchup would keep me from playing any of them.
All right, kind of flipping the tables on the next one, battling two teams who've lost a combined 17 games as the Bills visit Kansas City to play the Chiefs. Injury notes of this one we didn't know of, Bob.
You know, everyone's going to be playing, it looks like, you know, for what that's worth. He's got all the backfield. You know, hey, Jamaal Charles has been a great play, I mean, or a solid play. If not, you know, I don't want to say great play, but a solid play. He's done a lot better than I've expected. He's beat up, but he's not on the injury report this week, but he's got a sore shoulder. They need him to make plays. They need him on the field, and he will be. Dontrell Savage will back him up. Tim Castile, the fullback, will get some carries in there too. But, you know, primarily going against the Bills' defense, it's not very good. You know, you can maybe expect Chris Chambers to make a play. Maybe Matt Castle can make a play. Maybe, you know, who knows? I think the big guy you got to look at, though, is Jamaal Charles. I know this is, you look at this matchup and you think, wow, the Bills' defense is horrible. And you think, wow, the only thing more horrible than that might be the Chiefs' offense. So, you know, stick with your Jamaal Charles if you can. On the other side of the ball, Fred Jackson's going to continue to start at halfback, but Marshawn Lynch shows signs of life. Perhaps the benching lad, you know, or moving back behind Jackson, Jackson taking over as the starter, has, you know, sparked him back into beast mode, and he'll continue to play hard. Both guys are reasonable enough plays against the Chiefs. If you got them, just as long as they're not your RB1 or 2, maybe in a flex kind of role. As far as the receivers in the passing attack, you know, again, great matchup. T.O. can get it done. Lee Evans can get it done. As long as, again, as none of these guys are your primary weapons, they're decent plays.
Yeah, and on Terrell Owens, who only needs 6 receptions to become the 6th player in NFL history with 1,000 in his career. So likely he reaches that, you think?
Yeah, I think likely is a hard word to use with the Bills' offense. I mean, he it's within reach. He can get it in any given game. It may take him 2 games. It would not surprise me if it took him 2 games.
He'll probably get at least 6 targets. Let's see if he can haul them all in, right?
Exactly. I mean, that, you know, and that's the problem with this offense. They're going to be big games, and there's just going to be games where they absolutely disappear. And that's, you know, that's with all the substandard teams, all the sub-500 teams, all the 2-win, 1-win, whatever teams, you know, you're going to get games where they can produce. Even the worst teams have productive players on them. It's just, can you count on it consistently? Is there any predictability in advance? And in this case, there's just not a whole heck of a lot.
All right, our next matchup, Pitts, Carolina against New England, an angry New England team, I'm sure. What about the injuries from this one?
Got angry and beat up. Tom Brady is the biggest name, obviously, listed as questionable. That's the first time in quite a while. He's got the shoulder that he's had since like 5 years ago that's been an issue. But we've added the finger, which really didn't seem to slow him down much last week. He threw the ball well, as we saw, hitting Randy Moss in stride for the TD early in the game.
Well, yeah, plus they got Matt Castle to back him up, so they should be oh, no, wait.
Oh, no, wait. No, they don't. he added a rib problem. He missed 2 days of practice. You don't see a lot of that. But, hey, the guy's been playing a long time. He knows what they're going to do. I'm sure he's been taking a lot of mental reps and studying up hard. I don't think it's going to be a big issue. The Panthers secondary is not the most horrifying in the world. That's a fact. If they could run the ball a little more effectively, it would be great for the Panthers. We're going to have Matt Moore making his second start. D'Angelo Williams returns. Jonathan Stewart and he will be playing a lot, I would imagine, have the ball in their hands a lot, trying to take some pressure off more. You know, it's whatever the Patriots have been, you know, in recent weeks, I mean, you know, if we look at historically, they are very tough at home in December. And I'm not sure I want to be making Matt Moore making a second start of the year against that defense. Even if they're not playing great, I think it could be a tough game for him. But, hey, start your running back there. D'Angelo Williams, good play. The ankle's fine. He's practiced all week, listed as probable. And same with Jonathan Stewart, also listed as probable. Maybe shy away from the passing attack as much as you can, and that includes Steve Smith. I mean, he's just not been a solid play. And if you go, I've got a nice article on the site that he'll tell you he's not a very good play because it's just not happening. They're a run-first team, and that's what they do best, and they pick their shots, and there's just not very many of them.
Yeah, and all signs would kind of point to, I mean, within the stats, not to mention how they've been playing typically in December at home for the Patriots to roll big in this game, you would think, right?
You would hope so, and you know, I mean, I think, you know, as far as the passing attack, they'd really like to get that on track and, you know, get a little momentum built up, I would think. You know, they're capable of putting up big numbers at any time. It would help if they ran the ball a little better, maybe a little more Sammy Morris, but, you know, Lawrence Maroney has run reasonably well. Fred Taylor, by the way, is getting close. He's listed as questionable this week. I don't think this is the week he comes back, but, you know, in the next week or two, Fred Taylor could be in there, and I'm not sure that makes him a good fantasy prospect, but it might diminish, you know, Lawrence Maroney and maybe even Sammy Morris a little bit if he is back in the mix. So that's something you got to watch for. Sam Aiken is a little dinged up, listed as questionable. Julian Edelman also listed as questionable. Aiken is a, you know, kind of a reasonable fringe player these days, so you might want to check back in the hour leading up to kickoff to see his status. And, oh, yeah, maybe check Tom Brady's too.
Yeah, very nice. That's going to be one people are going to want to be looking for. Indy's going to try to keep their record perfect as they host the Broncos this weekend. What's the injury report say about this one?
You know, Donald Brown is out for the Colts. This will be the second game he's missing. Mike Hart moves up to be the number two guy behind Joseph Addai, who really hasn't needed much of a number two guy in recent weeks. He's been playing really well. Last three games, Joseph Addai's playing really well. I expect him to keep using him the same way, and I would think he could continue to produce. You know, they use him in a versatile kind of attack. He's not just running the ball. He's catching the ball, getting him the ball in space. It's a pretty good deal. Reggie Wayne, Peyton Manning, both probable foot and glute, respectively. Both will play as usual. On the other side of the ball, everyone's pretty healthy. Kyle Orton still listed as probable with the same ankle he's played through the last couple of weeks. I would expect him to, you know, be fine. I would expect the Broncos to really load up on the run, and they've been running well. I admit that, you know, Sean Marino's a good play. Corell Buckhalter, a good fringe play, flex kind of play if you got him. As far as the receiving attack, the passing game, seems to me Brandon Marshall's a must-start every week. Kyle Orton, you know, only if you had to. And in terms of the other receivers, you know, as long as you're looking at your wide receiver three and four, you know, the Jabbar Gaffneys, the Eddie Royals, the Brandon Stokelys, I mean, you know, they're all going to be on the field. They're all going to be in the mix. Just it's going to be hard to predict consistent production from any of them. I like the rushing attack for Denver, though, this week more. And I like everyone on, you know, anyone who's going to be on the field for the Colts is a pretty good play for me. You might as well play them while you got them. They could clinch soon enough, and you might not be able to take as much advantage of them in the final 2 weeks.
Also, an interesting side note to this game, the Colts can also take the new record for longest winning streak in NFL history. They're currently tied with the 06-08 Patriots for 21. This, if they win, would be their 22nd win. So a lot riding on that. Do you think they get it?
Yeah, at home, I think they do.
All right. Taking a look at our next matchup, it's going to be the Lions and the Ravens. Injury notes from this one we need to know about, Bob.
Boy, the Ravens' psyche is fragile and destroyed. They need the Lions badly, and they come up against them at a good time at home. For the Ravens, we do have some injury issues. You know, Joe Flacco's been dinged up. He's listed as probable, but it's obviously, you know, the beating he's taken. There's ankle, hip, ribs, shoulder, you know, all the various things. You know, he's obviously, his play is declining. The Lions can help him there, but he will be without Mark Clayton. It looks like listed as doubtful, all but officially ruled out. Kelly Washington and Demetrius Williams move up in the rotation. Otherwise, there's going to be some issues on the defensive side of the ball that could help the, you know, Ed Reed again, probably unlikely to play. Terrell Suggs, unlikely to play. And for the Lions, Dante Culpepper is going to start. Matthew Stafford's listed as doubtful, but they've already declared that he won't play. They need to rest the shoulder up. They don't want it to be a chronic condition. They say there's no structural damage. But he may sit out this week, maybe next week. As far as if you're a Calvin Johnson owner, I'm not sure that makes a lot of difference. Dante Culpepper can get the ball down the field to your guy, so I think that's, you know, that's the big issue. And again, you know, they're The Lions are not playing the most productive ball, but if you have Calvin Johnson, you can play him. If you have Kevin Smith, you can play him. Even against the Ravens defense, you can play him. And if you got the Ravens, you want to play Ray Rice every week without fail. Willis McGahee's a, you know, a fringe flex kind of guy. He's capable of scoring. He's not going to be – the ball's not going to be in his hands a lot. Derek Mason is going to have the ball in his hands a lot. He's going to throw a lot of fits, and he's going to yell at people and get flagged. It's going to be awesome. I like Derek. He's old and mean-spirited just like me.
Should be nice.
You know, you can play Flacco if you had to. I'd prefer not to play either quarterbacks in this game if I had better options. But you know, the Lions have been quite generous, and it would not surprise me if they do so again.
If you need to start Stafford, is that even a thought at this point?
No.
I mean, he's currently leading rookies with. Well,
no, you can't play. Stafford's not going to play this week.
Oh, Stafford won't play this week.
No, Culpepper's in this week. I mean, Stafford's list is doubtful, but they've already announced that Culpepper's in. He's going to take all the reps. And I would expect Culpepper's going to be back again next week, too. I think it'll be like a two-week kind of thing. So, yeah, so no Stafford.
No Stafford. Well, taking a look at our next game on the schedule, we got Miami heading to Jacksonville to play the Jags. Any injuries from this one we need to know about?
Yeah, something cropped up. Mike Sims-Walker for the Jaguars. Suffered a bit of a setback with a strained calf on Wednesday. He hasn't practiced the last 2 days. Turned up as doubtful today, so I would say he's not going to go. Mike Thomas, so the rookie, will replace him. You know, that kind of takes pretty much all the receivers, all the wide receivers, out of the real fantasy running. You know, Torrey Holt's going to catch some balls. I'm not sure he's what I would call a fantasy prospect right now. David Garrard kind of spreads the ball around a little bit. Maurice Jones-Drew is probable. He's your player of choice, as always, for the Jaguars. You might get a little action from the tight ends. You know, Mercedes Lewis is playing really well and putting up good numbers, but, you know, again, the ball's being spread around a lot. Now they got Zach Miller, rookie tight end, coming in, getting some work done. Ernest Wilford, another tight end, getting some catches. So they're spreading the ball around an awful lot. Miami's secondary can be had, but, you know, trying to predict in advance who's going to be the big player that's taking advantage of them is going to be difficult. As far as Miami, they're healthy. They're playing well. As you probably will tell all our listeners, Chad Henne is a stud, almost unstoppable. Certainly last week he played well. Again, I would hate to have to depend on him, but, you know, if you're in a bind, hey, he's playing well. Their receivers are picking up the pace a little bit, getting good play from Devon Best, getting good play from Ted Ginn, getting good play from Greg Camarillo and Brian Hartline, too. So, you know, all of them are reasonable enough plays if you're, you know, as long as they're not in that front line of your guys, you know, as long as they're not your one, number two, number three, you know, as long as you're getting down to that 3 and 4 range, you're in pretty good shape. Ricky Williams will start again, and I would expect him to be very busy.
Yeah, you know, well, since my Michael Vick prediction didn't come true, you know, I got to hold on to my Chad Henne one, right?
I got you.
All right, taking a look at our next matchup, we're going to have the Saints visiting the Falcons. Should be an interesting matchup. Saints try to keep their record perfect as well, but first talk about the injuries.
Saints will have the pedal to the metal. They're going to have – it looks like they'll have all the frontline guys. Mike Bell is questionable with the knee. Lance Moore could return. Everyone else is probable. I would expect, you know, it would seem like you have some good matchups there for, like, Pierre Thomas, especially if Mike Bell's out. Reggie Bush playing that kind of, you know, that kind of flex kind of role. Not sure I'd really be that eager to play him. But all your guys, you know, Drew Brees, Jeremy Shockey, Devery Henderson, Marcus Colston, and Robert Meacham, the big play machine, especially in non-PPR league. Guy can't be beat. Play him as a flex, play him as a wideout. He's scored in like 5 or 6 straight games. Can't hardly go wrong there. For the Falcons, they may be without Matt Ryan again. He hasn't practiced all week. He hasn't been ruled out, neither has Michael Turner, but it certainly doesn't look like they're on a track to play. Chris Redman would go if Ryan can't, and it would be Jarius Norwood and Jason Snelling again. If Turner can't, I think we'll see that. Roddy White and Michael Jenkins, both lists is questionable. I'm hoping you're not relying on Jenkins. You'll need to check back. If so, that's going to be a game-time decision. I think Roddy White will play as usual, and he'll be targeted a lot as usual. So, you know, definitely a reasonable play there. Tony Gonzalez, a reasonable play no matter who the quarterback. Even if you're the quarterback, Skip, I'm playing Tony Gonzalez. So, you know,
I got a good arm. What are you looking for? I got a pretty good arm. Come on.
Pretty good, yeah. I'll give you that much. But, you know, the point is we don't want to have to rely too much on the running game, maybe a little bit on the passing game, even with Chris Redman in there. For the Saints, play him if you got him.
I mean, I'm no Chad Henne or anything, but.
Well, who is? Except check on Mike Bell. Check back. He's the one questionable. And, if you know, I'm hoping you're not having to play Lance Moore, but. He could return this week.
All right, Jets and Bucks is the next matchup we want to talk about. I know there's some injury notes from this one because there's alarms going off on my fantasy team for Cadillac.
Yeah, Cadillac Williams came up as questionable today. Bad back. Raheem Morris did not sound especially optimistic. If he doesn't go, you're going to see a lot more Derek Ward, maybe a little bit of Ernest Graham. You're going to need to check back on the hour leading up to kickoff on that one, too, and it's going to be kind of dicey. The Jets are reasonable enough against the run. So on the other side of the ball, Mark Sanchez will not play this week. It'll be Kellen Clemens. That doesn't mean guys like Jericho Koshri, who has pretty good chemistry with Clemens. They worked together a lot as backups, earlier in their careers. Braylon Edwards trying to gain some chemistry, trying to get a special face mask with suction cups on it, perhaps, that'll allow him to better catch the ball when it bounces off his nose. So, again, in this game, you want to play Thomas Jones. That's the guy you want to play in this game. Could have another Hall of Fame-style week like he does against the Bills. The Bucks run defense, not all that effective. Otherwise, Mike Clayton will be out for the Bucks. It'll be Maurice Stovall starting for him. But I will suggest, even though Josh Freeman had a really tough game last week, threw a lot of picks, Antonio Bryant is playing lights out the last 2 weeks. Lights out. Play him if you got him. Keep the role going. He's playing like one of the top 10 receivers in the league right now.
All right, and as usual, time is slipping away for us. Let's get right back to the next one, Seahawks and Texans. Who's hurt from this one we need to know of?
Both quarterbacks will be playing. They're both listed as probable. Both have sore shoulders. Shalvin is his left shoulder. Hasselbeck is his throwing shoulder. Shouldn't be concerned on either side. For the Texans, we'll have a new regime at running back, Chris Brown, Ryan Moats, maybe Arian Foster. Brown is going to start. I imagine we'll see a mix of guys. Otherwise, everyone's pretty healthy there. Seahawks have a healthy backfield this week. We'll see both guys there, Forsett and Julius Jones. I'm thinking if you got anyone involved in the Texans passing attack, get them on the field. That would be Matt Schaub. That would be Andre Johnson, preferably. Kevin Walter, a bit of a fringe player for the Seahawks. I still like to play Nate Burleson in a number of leagues, but it's been hit or miss. Another one of those teams that's a mediocre team that's giving you hit or miss production, whether it's running game or the passing game. This could be a hit, could be a miss. Hope you're not relying on them.
Kind of an interesting matchup itself between 2-5-7 teams. What are your thoughts about how they match up together?
I think in both cases, they've both been so inconsistent, you wonder which team's going to show up. To me, the Texans have the advantage because they have Schaub and Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson is a difference maker. T.J. Hujmanzada was supposed to be that for Seattle, and he hasn't been. So I think the Seattle should have a little edge in the running game. They've got a little better backfield, but their blocking has not been great. So it's a toss-up. I'm just hoping Andre Johnson has a big game and Matt Schaub remains in the locked and upright position.
All right, Rams and Titans, the first game of the Sunday evening games. Any injury notes from this one we need to know of?
Yeah, a lot of guys dinged up. Vince Young had a little setback with his knee. He's listed as questionable, expected to play. Chris Johnson is probable with an ankle. He will play. Got a couple of receivers nicked up. Justin Gage will return, though. Not on the injury report this week. Nate Washington and Kenny Britt both probable with minor injuries. They'll play as usual. For the Rams, Kyle Bowler's come up a little gimpy this week, but he's listed as probable. Keith Knoll is their only other option. I'm not sure that it really matters because whoever's there is going to mostly be handing off to a very sore Steven Jackson. Still having the back issues, hasn't practiced this week, may not practice the rest of the year, but he'll be on the field every Sunday for you. And he'll be, and he'll have the ball in his hands a lot. He's a good play every week. I'm going to keep playing him on the Titans side. Hey, I'm still playing Chris Johnson. You can't keep Chris Johnson off the field. And, if you have Vince Young, so check in, make sure he's playing. If he's playing, he's a decent play. They're playing some decent ball there in Tennessee.
Okay, a really good matchup in our next game, too, is the Chargers will be heading to Jerry World to play the Cowboys. Injury notes we need to know from this one.
Everyone's pretty healthy in this one. Martellus Bennett's been ruled out due to a concussion for the Cowboys, and that's about it, other than a couple guys probable on the fringe. And, again, I think in this one you can't not be playing these guys if you got them. And by these guys, I mean Tony Romo. I mean Miles Austin. I mean Marion Barber. Cowboys backfield, as much as you've been playing them, continue to play them. For the Chargers, you want to play Phillip Rivers. You want to play LT. Sproles is a reasonable flex option if you have them. The receivers there. Vincent Jackson slowed down a little bit, but still a great threat, hard to stop at times. And Malcolm Floyd's been decent, certainly a good play in terms of jumping around around the end zone. Antonio Gates can't hardly be stopped, and Jason Witten's playing good ball. So all those guys need to be on the field if you can get them in your lineup as you normally would.
Or basically start all your Chargers, start all your Cowboys.
Yeah, start the guys you would be starting there. Don't let anyone scare you. Don't be scared of any of the matchup in this one. I think this could be a high-scoring game. It could be a very exciting game. I'm looking forward to it, and I know you are.
Oh, you know it. Next matchup, we're talking about Redskins at the Raiders. Injuries from this one?
Yeah, we've got some minor issues here for the Redskins. They're going to be, you know, on the defensive side, they'll be without Haynesworth and Hall, cornerback and defensive tackle. For the Raiders, we're going to be without Hayward Bay. Not sure that's been real noticeable. Lewis Murphy's been doing most of the damage at wide out there. Bruce Gradkowski playing pretty well at quarterback. I think if you're going to need to play these guys, one of the changes for the Redskins, Quentin Gander is going to be the starting halfback, taking over for Rock Cartwright. He's going to be without his lead fullback, Mike Sellers, who's out this week. Boy, if I could avoid a lot of these guys, I certainly would. And by a lot of these guys, I mean pretty much all of them. Lewis Murphy's a good fringe play. I think, you know, a good, you know, but not a receiver one or two. I mean, you're just, not, again, it's the curse of the uneven production, and that's going to kill you every time. I mean, they're going to have big games, and they're going to disappear for games. Guys on both sides of the ball. I think Jason Campbell, you can play. I think the second-year guys there, Devin Thomas and Fred Davis, you can play. I'm not sure I'd want to. Santana Moss, you know, hey, he's a solid receiver, two, three every week, but boy, I wouldn't want to have to play. I wouldn't want these guys, you know, determining the outcome. I want guys in front of them that are putting up more consistent production.
All right, and the NFL God has bestowed a pretty good matchup for us for the Sunday night game, as well as the Giants will host the Eagles. Injury notes from this one we need to know of, Bob.
Looks like for the Eagles, Brian Westbrook is out, but everyone else appears to play. But there is a little bit of trickiness. Macklin is listed as questionable. Andy Reid expects him to play. He's got a foot issue. He's been probable pretty much most of the year with it and played with it. I think he will play. DeSean Jackson comes back. LeSean McCoy will be starting at halfback, but Leonard Weaver is going to start. I think you're going to see him a little bit more down the stretch. He's kind of come out of nowhere, and he is a versatile for a big guy. He may be the best big back in the NFC East right now, and I know Brandon Jacobs is there, so don't tell me I don't know that. So Leonard Weaver is a guy to watch, definitely, and I think in terms of Kevin Curtis could come back too, so I wouldn't count on him for much this week, and I don't think he'll cut into anyone else's production. But the Eagles may be getting healthy at just the right time in the next few weeks. As far as the Giants, looks like everyone's good to go. Ahmad Bradshaw will be playing with the same ankle issues he's been dealing with all along. We'll see if Brandon Jacobs keep his role going. Again, the Giants have been pretty inconsistent. You're having up and down weeks, good production, bad production. Eli Manning is playing, you know, won't admit it, but the foot seems to be an issue. He's not hitting guys the way he was early in the year. But if you're looking for the good plays here, I think Steve Smith is still a good play every week. Mario Manningham, a reasonable fringe play. I think you could play Kevin Boss if you had to. Wouldn't want to rely on Eli Manning, but, you know, he will be on the field, so that's saying something. On the other side of the ball, I'd get DeSean Jackson back in the lineup. You want to have Brent Celek on the field if you got him. You want to have Donovan McNabb on the field if you got him. You know, in terms of the running backs, hey, you want to look and see what your better options are. But, both McCoy and Weaver, if you're down there and it's, you know, you've got five running backs that just got put on IR this week and three of them were yours and you're desperate for a play, those are the guys you're looking at. They could be reasonable enough plays.
Very well. Finally, in our Monday night matchup, we got the Cards visiting the 49ers. Who's hurt from this one we need to look out for?
You know, right now it looks like everyone's going to be playing on both sides of the ball. Kurt Warner's fine, obviously showed that last Sunday night. I think Tim Hightower still has a little bit of a thumb. Neil Racker's been playing with the same groin injury. He'll continue to play with it. 49ers, it'll be all hands on deck. Vernon Davis is playing great ball. You'll want to keep him in there. The Niners have been using that spread offense. But I'm telling you, if the Cardinals continue to get after people on defense like they did last week, it's going to be hard for the Niners to move the ball, hard for Alex Smith to get some time to move the ball. But, you know, if you're playing those guys, Vernon Davis, Frank Gore is a must-play every week. I couldn't justify sitting him, even as they're using the spread offense more. Michael Crabtree, good, you know, a reasonable enough big play threat as long as he's not a frontline guy. On the Cardinals side, everyone in the passing attack is a frontline guy, you know, on the wideouts in terms of Bolden, Fitzgerald, Kurt Warner. Both running backs, still reasonable plays there. Tim Hightower and Beanie Wells, both capable of getting some solid production as long as they're not your frontline guys. You don't want to, you know, not a feature guys, and it's going to be hard to predict who gets the ball more, but both of them will do well.
Indeed. Well, guys, we got a lot of injury notes to go ahead and take a look at as you guys are heading into this weekend, so be sure to continue to check the website and refresh the flash update to make sure your players will be playing or make changes if you need to, or you can do like I do and just have Bob text you all the news you need to know.
And I will do that.
He does, personally. All right, guys, well, that's the matchup. Me and Michael Jones will be back on Wednesday to talk waiver wire. But until then, enjoy the weekend. This has been the FootballDieHards.com podcast.